Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Wagner.
And I'm James Lohmiller. In the chaos of today, sometimes it's hard to really know who you are and what you want to be.
Join us, the doctor
and the stylist,
as we come together from very different worlds to guide you towards a life of authenticity and true health.
Let's go.
Hey. So, we have not been here for a while.
It's been a long time.
I am excited.
Yes.
We've had some tech issues, so we're actually recording into a phone, and then hopefully we can cut out some of the background noise, but you guys can tolerate a little bit of crappy audio for a couple of episodes, and then we'll have our other system back running shortly.
Correct.
But we just actually recorded for 10 minutes, and I realized that we weren't recording.
It's okay.
So it was just a starter.
Yeah.
But we were talking about heading into the holiday season. I know we've talked about stress a lot in this podcast, but it's just a pervasive problem, right? So maybe we talk about stress again.
Yeah, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Especially with Omicron, all the stuff that is out of our control. Right?
All of it, yes. Right. So stress, you know, and I think I'd like to talk about it from the perspective of stress and resiliency against stress and how you let it affect you emotionally. So there's three different layers to that, and they're all super, super important. I'll give you some examples. Like personally, recently I read this book and I was like, you know, in the book, this guy was talking about how you really should never get too emotional about things. Like you never should get super excited and you never should get super down, because at the end of the day, it is what it is. What's going to happen is going to happen. And the less reactive you get to it, the more productive and more stable you're going to be, right? And in my past, I've tended to get, and you've seen me like this, like super, super excited or super, super down. I've let things affect me emotionally. So it was really, it's something I've definitely been working on, is just being just kind of chill. Like if I have a patient who has a complaint or a problem, because that happens, obviously, I'm like, whatever, it's fine. You know what I mean? If someone says something nasty to me on social media, I'm like, whatever, it's fine. If something really great happens or my kids get a good grade, I'm not like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You know, I'm just trying to be more stable, right? But it's hard. I was in a local establishment recently. I'm just going to call it a local establishment. And there are a few high schoolers there who I didn't know. And I heard them talking from across the room, and they started talking about someone who I know them dearly, another kid. And they were saying really rude things. And so I had to sit there and listen to this for, you know, a couple minutes. And something was happening. I don't want to be too specific about details, but by the end of it, I was so angry. I was checking out and I was shaking. So I was like, you know, damn, I'm not following my own rules. Another thing was, you know, I was driving recently through a parking lot and someone was mad at what I was doing. So they came and tried to get really aggressive with me. And I, you know, it made me kind of angry too. So it was a little road rage. But anyway, so those are just like specific examples of how you can try to be really good with it, but it's really hard, right?
It is. And, you know, in my line of work, dealing with all different types of people every day,
yes,
like you are, right?
Right. Customer service.
It is trying. But one of the greatest lessons I ever learned was, and this is, you know, talking about like in an emergency situation, what's the first thing you do? Stay calm.
Yes.
So emergency or not, that's how I have really dealt with all of my stress and those highs and lows. I constantly tell myself, just stay calm.
Yes.
Right? So let's let all of that like subside for a second.
Diffuse.
Take a step back.
Deep breath.
Look at it, right?
Right.
Simple. That couldn't be more simple, and it has helped me tremendously.
Isn't it? It's amazing. And I'm blessed because I have my ER background, and so I had to learn. And it was definitely a learned technique. I had to learn when something's really awful and scary and like traumatic to literally, I go the opposite direction. I become like uber calm, because I had to, like I had to save a life. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, even before when you got here this morning and I realized like all this technical stuff was going wrong, like I couldn't find the cords and I couldn't, because we haven't recorded in so long. And I just got calmer because I was like, well, I'll just algorithmically go through all the steps, mm-hmm. and then at the end of the day, what's the worst thing that happens? We don't record.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, or we just record into our damn phone.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's not the end of the world,
no.
Right?
No.
So I think it's, you know, I see it, it's really hard because I see people all the time who don't have that level of awareness of how to stay emotionally stable despite a storm. You know what I mean? And the classic example is road rage. You know, when you see someone get super pissed at you on the road, or someone who gets really angry about something in the clinic, or
it could be anything. It could be in the grocery store.
Or like the political people right now, the people who are on far sides either way.
Yeah.
Like, and they're the ones we're seeing the most of. They're so unstable. And how do we learn from that and not judge them? But just be like, how do I not be like that? Because that's not good for their bodies.
No.
It's not good for them.
No, and that's a good point too. How do you tune it out?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because I truly, and I mean this wholeheartedly,
yeah,
I don't care what you're doing, what you're thinking. It's none of my business.
Right, right.
There's so many people out there that create drama, their own drama.
Yes.
And it's like, so yeah, how do we get past that?
Right. So it's just like, I think I always, like a broken record, I'm always like, awareness is the first step. But you know, you have to ask yourself, am I finding myself getting really volatile, really high or really low? Am I getting triggered easily by events? You know, am I flying off the handle? And then if you are, it's looking at back at everything and saying, okay, like, I don't like this. I don't like how it feels, because it doesn't feel good. Right? That's it.
Terrible.
It just feels terrible.
And then the next day, you know, you're looking back and going, how did I let it get to that point?
Right, right. It doesn't feel...
I feel stupid.
For sure. Yes. And then not only does it not feel good, but it's creating disease, because you have these spikes in cortisol, you have these like chronic stressors, and you're reacting to them. You're telling your brain is telling your body that you're in an emergency. So you're getting this surge of adrenaline, you're getting this surge of cortisol, anger, rage, stress, which, fine, if you're in an emergency and you need it, great, you need that stuff. But when you're doing it all the time, you're constantly reactive, you're in a constant state like that. And so your body just dysregulates, your homeostasis is off, your digestion is off, your mental health is off, your neurotransmitters are off, your cravings, you crave crap, you know what I mean? You want to drink more alcohol. Like, there's just so many things that compound on it that, which sounds really complicated, but it's not. It's super simple. It's just being like, okay, what is this happening to me? And how do I not let it happen to me anymore?
Yeah.
And it's going to be different for every person, you know? So when I get really reactive to stuff, I know like what I'm doing in my lifestyle to make me that way. And it might be that I'm not sleeping enough. It might be that I'm overworking and I'm trying to get too much done, or overextending myself. It might be that I miss my kids. You know what I mean? So there's, you can kind of look back.
A lot of factors.
But yes. Everyone's going to be different. You know, there's some people who, this is what I see a lot, is they have these emotional instabilities because of trauma that they've never healed.
Yes.
And so they had, whether, and it may have been when they were 5 years old, but they carry it, and they never heal it. And it becomes this perpetual hamster wheel of emotional overactivity or reactivity or instability that really is rooted in an old trauma, which there's plenty you can do for that.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that, you know, kids growing up in a broken home, right?
Yes.
Going through divorce, like that's a big one that I talk to, you know, my friends and people close to me about.
Yeah.
It's something that they've, I don't want to say it ever let go of, they just never worked on it.
No.
And it's just sitting there and it's just stewing.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a huge one.
And think about it, that's like 50% of people. You know what I mean?
I know.
Or just the amount of abuse, emotional, sexual,
yes,
physical, bullying, you know, all the stuff.
So what are, let's talk about the steps to overcome these things.
Right, because I think for a lot of people, it comes to a head in December.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's so much stress. You're trying to get everything done. You're trying to like give your family a great holiday if that's what you got going on. Or your work is blowing up. You're trying to get stuff done by year end. And then you've got like memories and your own baggage about Christmas or whatever holiday you're celebrating. So it comes to a head for a lot of people. So what can you do about it? And I think, and you can offer as well what you think we can do about it. But I think, first of all, is know that you can't be perfect. So you're not going to fix it overnight. This isn't going to be like, oh, I'm going to be perfect by the end of the month kind of thing. You know, just be really gentle on yourself. And if you have no time to work on yourself till the end of the month, fine, just gut it out. But know that after it's all said and done, you're going to do some work on it, right? So just start being inquisitive.
Yeah, no, and that's great. Another think for people, even if you're not into it, and I certainly wasn't for a long, long time, but journaling.
Yes.
Right? Recognizing and writing down what you've experienced, what you're going through. Because if you have it out front and you're physically writing it down and you're thinking about it that much more, there is something you can do about it.
Yes.
Instead of going every day and waking up in that hamster wheel.
Yes.
The same damn thing day after day. It's like, no, let's really analyze this.
Right.
Let's figure out where the issues are and try to fix them.
Right. I love that. I actually, I've journaled off and on my whole life, and I just started doing it again recently. And I do it with a meditation first. You can call it a meditation or a prayer. It's probably more of a prayer than it is a meditation for me. But I do about 5 to 10 minutes when I first wake up. Lights are all off. I haven't even made my first cup of coffee yet. And I sit on my chair with a blanket because it's cold right now. And I sit there. And some mornings my mind is like a monkey mind. So it's like bouncing all over the place. And I'm like, that's fine. It's just this is what I need today. But then sometimes it's almost like you go a level deeper. So like, all of a sudden, the brain, the thoughts start to get further and further apart and more quiet, and then they kind of go away, and then you get some like visualization going on. It's amazing. I write that shit down.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah. That's been amazing. Because sometimes when I just journal, I'll journal the same stuff over and over again, like my problems, my worries. And I found that I was like almost perpetuating the problem by focusing on it too much. So I'm like, I need to like, take a step back and just let it be. And let some stuff come in versus try to fix it myself. And that's where I get a little spiritual with it.
Yeah, no, I have someone very close to me right now who is into that. And when you can recognize the problem, start analyzing it, you go back, that's kind of when the deep breath happens. You're like, wow, that felt really good. Now I can talk about it more intelligently than in the heat of the moment. Like I think it's wonderful. It's that way to just kind of start letting go.
Yeah, so if you're someone and you're listening to this, you're like, oh yeah, I totally am reactive and emotional and stressed and all that stuff, try it out. Try the journaling or the meditation. So it can take 5 minutes.
And there's no right or wrong.
There's no
right
or wrong.
It's however you're feeling.
Right.
Just get it out.
Yeah, or like another good thing to do is get some books that are a little bit more like self-helpy, new agey, motivational. I know it's cheesy, but they can be great. Watch a Tony Robbins YouTube video. You know what I mean? Like there's... Do uplifting stuff and surround yourself with uplifting things. Okay, so what are some other things that you can think of that are important?
Well, I mean, right now, last Saturday, I was up in the northern portion of Door County, up in Ellison Bay.
Nice.
And went to Ellison Bay Bluff State Park. And it was early on a Saturday morning. Snow is falling, not a breath of wind. And my friend and I are the only one.
Amazing.
Only ones in the park. Park the car. Take this hike. And by the time we were I didn't want to stop. It felt so incredible to be out there. It was so beautiful. It was serene. It put me...
That's one that has a little overlook, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it put me in a mood that I hadn't felt in a while.
Yep.
Just simply by doing that. And I didn't want it to end.
Yes.
I wanted to stay out there. I didn't want to get back in the car. So getting out and having that time with nature, touching the leaves, as you call it,
right?
Couldn't be more true. And it put me in a space that I needed to get into.
Yeah.
That nothing else could have done it.
Yeah.
No book.
Right.
No journaling.
Right.
Nothing was going to do what that half hour hike did for me.
Yes.
Yes.
You're like preaching to the choir right now. I mean,
but it works. And
it's ridiculous.
So for someone like you, who's out in nature all the time,
like every day,
I'm not all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of time right now. I hope to get some more as the season slows down.
Yep.
But if you're not somebody who thinks about, and it's not about, you don't have to run, you know, get on a treadmill. You don't have to get outside and like do this arduous workout.
No,
just get out there.
That's more important.
Just get out there.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd say it's more important for your health to just get out there than it is to even do a workout outside.
That did wonders for me.
Well, and I say I get out in nature every day, but my getting out in nature, I mean, I work a lot too, but like this morning before you got here, I wanted to get mentally all juju'd up to do this because it helps. So I went and, you know, walked up the road and it's wooded around here. So that was like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was just like literally getting plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually always feel like it's detoxifying too. Like I feel like it flushes. It's like I don't know how to describe it. I feel like it flushes things out. Or like one way that I get out in nature is houseplants.
Yeah.
And that's, people say that all the time. It really works. If you have some cool plants, and I use really low maintenance plants because I kill everything. You know, I'll go like 2 weeks without watering it.
Right.
So I have to get stuff that's really resilient, but I have plants in almost all my rooms. They're not that much work. And that could be like getting out in nature. So people that live in like New York City, Chicago, I think
right. They
say for big city people to just use plants in your house. Or like I will, sometimes when I work from home, I'll take the dog for a 1 mile walk. So I'll just go bust out. It takes like 15, 20 minutes. And that's enough.
It's huge.
It's like totally reset. I'll do it in the afternoon when I start to crash a little bit. So those are some things you can do as well. You know, I'm a big believer in sleep. Everyone makes fun of me for it. Like 9:30 hits and it's like the witching hour for me where I'm trying to find my ride home so I can get in bed by 10. But it works for me. You know, if I get 6.5 to 8 hours of sleep, it's like a game changer for me. So I think getting good sleep is important.
And from a sleep perspective, because I struggle with sleep.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from, you know, exercising and getting your energy out so you feel your body's telling you need to sleep.
Yeah.
If you don't have that opportunity throughout the day because you're in an office or you're in an environment where you can't just get out all the time.
Right.
What are some of the best ways you can help with sleep?
You mean like to help yourself feel tired?
And to have that good night's sleep. I mean, so melatonin. Like my father sleeps horribly, has his entire life.
Yeah.
And he's 76 and just started taking melatonin.
He just started?
Yeah.
Come on.
John's a little stubborn.
Oh my gosh.
But it has helped immensely.
I take it most nights.
Cool. No, yeah. And that's good to hear too, because obviously it's very safe.
Oh, super safe. Yeah. My kids take it when they need it. All my patients, like, and I obviously, it's always like this. I was like, oh, in an ideal world, you know, I would just fall asleep. It would be super solid. But the reality is, I'm on a screen all day. Whether I'm with patients or not, I'm on a screen all day long, off and on throughout the day, right? So I have that weird light exposure. You know, we have stress, we have whatever. We're not going to live like we're animals in the woods, so we're not gonna, it's hard to sleep. It is what it is. And that's why it's important to realize it's okay to use some hacks. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to be this peer. Like, I think a lot of wellness is like so bullshit because it's like everyone's portraying like, oh, you have to be perfect and you have to like drink your smoothie and do all these things for wellness and these workouts and yoga and acupuncture and meditation. Yeah. It's like bullshit. I don't have time for all that. I do as much as I can, but then I'm going to use some hacks.
I think that's why a lot of people are turned off by it.
For sure.
Right?
I'm turned off by it.
Yeah. Because none of us are perfect. And,
no.
And if I feel like I'm gonna go out and have a couple beers or a glass of wine, like, am I in wellness right now?
Right,
yeah, this doesn't feel like I am.
No,
but,
yeah, I think that's super important. I think people get so turned off that they go the other direction.
Hmm.
They're like, screw it. I'm gonna stay up till 2-3 in the morning. I'm going to drink as much as I want. I'm just going to gut out my days and work and not even think about journaling and reading self-helpy books because I'm a lost cause. But that's not true. Like, you can literally be anywhere in the spectrum of wellness and you can feel a little better by practicing a couple wellness things. But yeah, melatonin works.
Cool. Good.
One thing, this is like totally tangential, but I recommend the extended release melatonin if you're someone who has trouble between like 1 and 5 in the morning.
There you go.
Because the regular melatonin, it releases really quickly, and so it works for a couple hours, but most people don't have trouble falling asleep because they're so tired they just crash. It's that early morning hours where your cortisol starts to spike and it's called like tired but wired, where you wake up and you're like, oh my god, and you know that feeling. You're like, I'm so physically tired, but my brain is just like on fire.
Then you grab your phone or you
worst thing to do,
reading, right? And then you're now you're
No, and that's like this morning. I actually woke up at 4, and I my brain just turned on, and I was mentally like ready to go. But at my body, I'm like, I'm still tired. I went to bed at 10. That's only 6 hours. I kind of like some more, and I really don't need to get up at 4 in the morning.
No.
But I was able. I never go on my phone. So I just kind of I've learned how to like do some deep breathing, and then just almost like do a meditative type thing, just laying there in bed to try to get the thoughts to go away, but not being too pressured about it, because the more you try to make them go away, the stronger they're going to be.
Right.
So you know what I mean? Like I'm just, but it's been, that's been a practice. Like that's taken years to get good at that. And it doesn't always work. It just depends on, it really depends on like how high your stress hormone levels are and how high your cortisol is and everything else that's going on. So you might need more than that. It might take more than that, but that's beyond the scope of this podcast. So sleep's important. And I mean, diet, like, you know, I feel like diet is critical. So like, and you don't have to be perfect about it. Like diet is, I feel like if you eat a pretty healthy, well-balanced diet for about 80% of the time and 20% of the time you're not doing it, you're going to be golden. You know what I mean? Yeah, you could be better. Like, could I be 90%? Could I, you know, have feet left?
That's like 6 days a week, you know, doing your thing, and then one day a week where you go, you know what? I'm going to have pizza and I'm going to drink my beer and all that. Yeah,
you could do it that way, or you could be like, you know, 80% of my day I do this, but then at night I want to have a little bowl of tortilla chips and cheese on.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, it could be every day or it could be once a month. It could be once a week. There's different ways to do it. But I don't think people realize that you don't have to be perfect. I had a gentleman recently reach out to me and he had a health issue. And he's like, hey, so-and-so said I should come see you. Do you think you can help me with this? And I'm not going to be too specific about it, but the guy probably doesn't eat a healthy diet at all and probably drinks too much alcohol and there's a bunch of other things. And I could tell he wasn't ready to make any change in that at all. Like he just wanted
isn't coming to see you, isn't that the first step? Or at least recognizing that he might need change, right?
Well, no, so you look at people are, there's like a continuum of change and he's like, he's at the beginning of the continuum.
Sure.
So the fact that he like said something to me is like, he's on the path. But like, and that's what I didn't say anything to him. I just kind of let people get to where they need to get on their own and then just like passively hand out information. But, he doesn't realize that he could do it. Like he doesn't have to be perfect. He could change his diet 50-60% and make a huge dent in this health condition that he has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, you don't have to be perfect about it. So if you have a health condition or stress or whatever, like you don't have to be perfect about it.
So when you talk about food for fuel, right?
Yeah.
It's probably your biggest passion.
Yes.
I would say.
It is. Yeah.
How important of all the things we've discussed so far is diet?
It's the most important.
The most important.
Spirit that we'll talk about with the next podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, food is the most important. It is the starting point for everyone. Because if you don't have a clean, healthy diet, you're eating inflammatory foods too much. I eat inflammatory.
See, people don't know this.
I eat inflammatory foods all the time. It's just in moderation. You know what I mean? So like if you're eating an unhealthy diet, eating inflammatory foods, not eating enough vegetables, not eating enough fiber, eating too much sugar, yada, yada, yada. You will never reach your health goals if you have health goals. So it is always the place to start. And it's definitely the most fun place to start. And the cool thing about food is, you know, people get overwhelmed because they're like, I don't know how to cook. I'm terrible in the kitchen. I'm getting burnt out on recipes. You know, I have a family who's picky.
I don't have time.
But there's so many ways to go about it. Like you could be doing meal replacement. You could fast. You know, if it's easier for you to skip a meal, you can fast, you can eat out. You know, think about people in big cities, like they eat out probably all 90% of their meals, like New York City, but you can eat out healthy. Like people are thin, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to be a gourmet chef and do everything at home. I like to do things at home, but I also know how to go to the market and buy, you know, whatever I need to buy and still eat pretty healthy.
Where do you put meal prepping? In all of that. So we talk about don't have enough time. We're making excuses.
For
like,
sure.
I don't have time for this.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
Right.
So meal prepping, how huge is that for you?
It's huge. It's huge. And meal prepping and like
is it hard?
Yeah, it's hard. And I get burnt out on it too. And that's when I just do more pre-made meals at places like Costco and things like that. But you can learn how to pick things that are healthier. You know, like one time I did, they have a turkey meatballs at Costco, but they were Amy's turkey meatballs. It's organic, all clean ingredients. But, you know, it wasn't my homemade meatballs, which are way better, but it's fine.
Yeah.
So there's ways to get around it. But, like, if you do want to do the cooking at home, prepping is key. And also, you know, shopping is key. Utilizing services if you don't have time. Like, I've started using Instacart. I have a personal shopper that I call or text her for Thanksgiving. And, you know, she went and got all my Thanksgiving food for me so that I could actually spend the time cooking it and actually still work and... You know, so you have to...
Took a ton of stress off of me.
And yeah, is that extravagant? Sure. But was it reality for me at that stage in my life? Yeah, it's what I had to do. So there's ways to get around it. But yeah, the more you can do in your own kitchen, the better. But yeah, so I think, you know, circling back to like the whole stress, resiliency, emotional balance, you know, the only other really, I think, important thing I would think about, so we did sleep, we did nature, exercise, I think we've talked about enough that we don't need to really hit on that right now. But just like always remembering, take a step back, remembering you have a purpose, you know, there's reason for you to be here. And when you're in an unbalanced, high stressed state, you're not at a place where you can give that back to the world. You know what I mean? So like there's a higher calling for you to actually recognize that you're being too emotional or that you're letting stress get a hold of you. So, you know, work on it. Does that make sense? And I'm going to keep working on it too, so I don't get shaky at the store.
No, it's great. This is good advice.
Anything else?
I said, we keep rolling, right? We're gonna do some more.
We
haven't recorded since April also.
I know.
And we've heard from other people like, are you guys not doing it? We're like, we need more. So that's what we're doing. Hopefully make this more frequent.